Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families in today's world. My goodness, don't we need it? Listen, I got a lot of things to tell you before we get to our guest today, who has a really inspiring story. I think that you're going to find so much encouragement from Caitlin and her story. We'll get to that in just a second. But for right now, I want to remind you that yesterday was the release of the trailer for the new documentary about AFA's founder, Don Wildman, who started his ministry in the 1970s when he was a pastor and encouraged his congregation to find better things to do with their time than to watch what was on television. And, you know, that was quite a while ago. I don't want to say how long because it's about how old I am, but it was in a different world and a time. But you know what? That message has seemed to age so well. We still need to find better things to do with our time than mindless consumption of media that just doesn't edify us. There are a lot of choices that we have. It's not about just blocking out the bad. It is about adopting the good. It's about providing a compelling alternative. It's about being intentional with our time. And if you missed the show yesterday, we talked to Beth Guckenberger, who's the author of many, many books, but right now is in the middle of a children's book series called the Strong Heart series. And yesterday we talked about book two of that and had the heart that wanted to sing and listening to music that is edifying to you, that is glorifying to God, that is going to give you earworms. We talked about the science of earworms. That's going to give you earworms that are good, that give you messages of hope in a world that really seems hopeless. And so I wanted to follow up with that and tell you that you can find me if you happen to be on Spotify. You can find me on Spotify at Dr. Nurse Mama. And I have themed playlists. These playlists actually go along with each chapter of the book that I wrote, Behind Closed Doors, a guide to help parents and teens navigate through life's toughest issues. But I have a playlist that I've been playing today called Peace, because I feel like in a world that seems anything but peaceful, I need peace. And so I challenged you yesterday. I know I feel like I'm challenging you a lot lately, but I'm not sorry about it. I'm challenging you to be intentional about the music that you are curating in your life. And use it intentionally for good, to curate a specific playlist, to play things that are going to lift up your spirit, that are going to lift the heart of your family. That is really important to do. Also, before we get started, I do want to just say my condolences, express my concern, my grief, my outrage, frankly, over this shooting that's happened. There's been another school shooting just outside of Atlanta today. And we definitely want to pray for the families of those involved. From what I'm seeing on the news reports, it looks like there are 4 fatalities, 9 in the hospital. And I think about those families who are going through, just walking through their kids through that. I think about the teachers, everyone working at the school. I also think about the healthcare providers. And right now, I have heard from my friends who are actively in that situation caring for kids. And just really, let me tell you, they will welcome our prayers for them as they care for families in an unimaginable situation. So just remember to talk to your kids intentionally about that. Ask them, how are you feeling about this news? How does this impact you personally? What can I do to help you feel safe? And what can you do to make a positive difference? So often we just have the news playing over their head with traumatic images that happen. So get the news that you need to get and then play something good. Tell them something good. Give them some time and some love. That is really important. And tomorrow I'll be talking on the show about anxiety and about toxic stress. We heard the Surgeon General's warning this week, worried about parental stress. And we are definitely stressed when we hear news like this that is so horrible. It just grips our hearts with fear. So make sure to listen in tomorrow. I'm going to be talking about the stress that families face and what we can do for healthy coping mechanisms. So all of that is just so much, but let's pause there and let's get to my guest. Today, I'm really excited to have on the show Caitlin Pavey. Now, she believes that with God, all things are possible, and it is not every day that you see a 24-year-old on a movie screen who has one arm and is an all-American softball player. So Caitlin was born, she was diagnosed with a rare genetic syndrome that caused her arm not to develop all of the way. And yet she became an all-American softball player. And, you know, just watching the message of this movie, I Can, there are so many kids I encounter today who just feel like they can't do anything, that they just feel afraid, they feel frozen, they feel just powerless. And this was a story that was really inspiring. So I'm excited to talk with Caitlin about it. Caitlin, welcome to the show. We're so glad to have you.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, Caitlin, why don't you just start by just telling us about how your life began?
Yeah, so I'm from a small town in southern Indiana called Lanesville, where I was blessed to grow up in a Christian household and went to church. My parents and my grandparents played a huge role and continue to play a huge role in my life. And then when I was about in the fifth grade, I decided I wanted to get baptized because I love the Lord. But I didn't fully understand the meaning of following him completely until high school, where I went to a Christ and Youth conference. And they talked about what it meant to fully follow him and fully surrender yourself to him. So during that time, I decided to rededicate my life to him. And then fast forward to college, I went there and I ended up having a traumatic knee injury. And that was the first time that I questioned God. And it really opened my eyes and let me know that, you know, I wasn't in control and that God was in control and he had a plan for my life. And after that, my faith has continued to grow. I'm coming up on a year of marriage to my husband, Kevin. We're raising a six-month-old German Shepherd puppy. And I'm just currently working at a softball organization in Louisville, Kentucky called the National Fast Pitch Coaches Association.
Well, I think that's really just so great and so many great things that have happened. And, you know, you make it sound so easy, but I watched the movie, Caitlin, and, you know, we know all things in all movies are true, right? But really, I thought it was such a beautiful representation of your story. And so how did your story become a movie and how true is it to your real life situation?
Yeah, so I attend a church called First Capital Christian Church in Cordon, Indiana. We're located on a dead-end street in a small, impoverished town, and we make movies. My pastor, Tyler Sansom, growing up, he has always wanted to make movies, and our theme for our church is to help others find and follow Jesus, and he was like, what not a better way to reach people than to make movies? So our church made one movie, and then we made another movie called A Father's Fight, which did really, really good and was very successful, they were wanting to make another movie, and my dad, Eric, and Tyler, they do sermons together, and my dad helps Tyler with the sermons, and so Tyler got to know a little bit about my dad's story. So if you haven't seen the movie, a little bit about my parents' story and how I came about. I was conceived out of wedlock due to an affair, and for the longest time, my parents struggled with thinking that their past sins caused me to be born with one arm. And because of this, Tyler thought it would be a great way to show the redemption of God and all the obstacles and adversity that I was faced growing up through the sport of softball. And so he presented the question to my dad and was like, hey, do you want to make a movie about your life? And my dad was like, hey, no, not at all. And Tyler was like, why not? And he said, man, I mean, if you think about it, my whole life and my whole past is going to be displayed in front of everybody on a big screen, and I just don't want that. And he said, okay, just pray about it, and I'll come ask you again. And the next week, he came in and asked my dad, he said, well, so did you pray about it? And my dad said, I'm not really sure. And he said, Okay, but if you can help one person find and follow Jesus, would you do it? And my dad said, absolutely. Absolutely, I would do it. But he said, you're going to have to ask Caitlin. So Tyler came and asked me. And he's like, hey, do you want to make a movie about yourself? And I said, nope, absolutely not. And he said, why not? And I was like, you know, I don't feel like I have a story to share. Yeah, I play softball. I have one arm, but so what? I just felt like there's other people's stories that needed to be told instead of mine. And I didn't want to be seen as, you know, sitting on a pedestal. And he's like, okay, but if you can help one person find and follow Jesus, or if you can inspire one person, would you do it? And I said, absolutely. If I can help one person find and follow Jesus, I would do it. So that's how the movie came about.
Well, I was really inspired by it. And, you know, one of the things that comes across in the movie is that, you know, you realize that your journey is unique, but it's not rare. There are a lot of kids who are born with various genetic conditions that, you know, may leave them disabled in a lot of different ways. And so what was your first recollection of that, Caitlin? How did your parents raise you? How did you grow up? And you played a lot of sports. I mean, you played basketball, volleyball, softball. And how did you start to say, you know, that you wanted to be an athlete? Was it just always like, why can't I? Or what was your journey like in that?
Yeah, so from the very beginning, my dad's always told me to never say I can't do something. You can always find a way. You can always do things through Christ. And so my sports background started at a very young age. My dad grew up playing various sports. He had two older brothers. And he tells me a story often where I was 12 months old. They just got me out of the tub. And my dad had this little squishy ball, and he was interested, and I was interested in it. So he was holding it above my head, and he's like, well, let's see if I drop it, see what happens. So he dropped it, and to his surprise, I caught it. And he thought it was a fluke. So he grabbed the ball again, held it above my head, dropped it, and I caught it. So that just sparked his interest and was like, yes, I'm going to have a kid that's going to play sports. So at the age of 3 is when I first started playing softball. My dad was my coach. I started off with a Velcro glove from Walmart just to practice on my hand-eye coordination. And the reason why I chose softball was because softball was a lot like life to me. Softball is a game of failure, and you fail way more times than you succeed. And so I just liked overcoming those obstacles and becoming successful. So I started playing softball at the young age of 3.
Wow, that's amazing. And, you know, I would love for you to talk, Caitlin, to other people who are on the team. Say there are kids who are on a team who are playing with a kid who has some sort of disability, maybe like yours, maybe different. What do you wish that they knew about how to treat kids who have disabilities? Because I think a lot of times those other kids may feel awkward. And then sometimes that awkwardness leads itself to, you know, just ignoring things or making jokes or, you know, just they don't really know what to do. What would you tell them and how to interact with teammates who maybe have different abilities?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, we may look different. We may do things differently, but we're all the same. We were all created in God's perfect image. And I, you know, a lot of my team, I was blessed to grow up with a lot of teammates that looked past my arm and saw me for who I was. And just if you see somebody that's different, it's really okay to ask questions. You know, I was really shy growing up. But if you just ask questions and you get to know that person, it gets that person out of their shell and it lets them show you like really truly who they are and what they're capable of doing.
Well, that is really inspiring. And when we come back, we're up on a break here, Caitlin, but I want to ask you about your coach because that was a big part of the movie. You know, the coach just seeing and wanting to recruit a softball player who only had one functioning arm, essentially. And, you know, other coaches thinking, are you sure? Are you sure? But really just being led by God on that and just following the conviction of his heart and praying about it. And I want to ask you about that. And I want to talk talk to coaches who maybe think, I don't know, how do I do this? How would I respond if I had a kid who had different abilities? So we'll talk about that when we come back. We'll talk with Caitlin Pavey, and the movie is called I Can. If you go to icanmovie.info, you can see how to watch it yourself. We'll be right back with more from Caitlin Pavey, All-American softball player. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Through the fire and the rain, to call back every name that your mama never gave you. When they couldn't shake you, they shamed you. We ain't fitting rooms, it went and used that to change you. Your guts sound too small to be the one that I see. Show me reasons for doubt, I got way more to keep. Believe you're 11 on my demons, but the stranger thing is, when you started bleeding, that's when you wanna lead us. I need a Jesus, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming, say bye to Felicia. And I know your pain, homie, I know that you're grieving. Healing's in the kingdom, there is a redeemer.
In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, and His name's on me.
And who the Son says?
Welcome back, friends. That is The Sun Sets Free by KB and Scooty Wop. And listen, the sun has set you free today. We are free in Christ, which is always an encouraging message. And the encouraging message that we're sharing today is based on a true story about a movie called I Can. Now, this couple, a couple has an affair. It leads to an unexpected pregnancy. They leave their spouses to begin a new life together, but their daughter, Caitlin, is born with a birth defect that basically prevents her arm from fully developing. And while her dad believes Caitlin's condition is God's punishment for the affair, Caitlin, with only one fully developed arm, defies all odds with an incredible gift for softball, becomes an All-American softball player. And this movie, I Can, is a story about Caitlin overcoming adversity and her dad eventually finding genuine forgiveness, and shares the message with all of us everywhere that we can come from hard places, we can go through hard things, and God can redeem those broken places and those broken things and use our stories for our good and for His glory. And so, Caitlin, before the break, we were talking about your coach. I was really intrigued by this storyline in the movie because, you know, I've got 4 kids who have all been involved in various sports. And, you know, I have seen, let's see, how do we say this in a way that is tactful? I have seen bad behavior from coaches, and I have seen coaches, there are some great coaches too, but there are coaches too who, you know, can value winning over everything. And I remember one time in particular when there were little kids, we're talking T-ball, this was little tiny, and there were some there was a premature kid, a kid who had been premature and so still was trying to catch up physically. And I remember hearing a coach saying, oh no, I don't want that kid on my team. And just thinking, these kids are four. I mean, we're talking about T-ball, but that competitiveness starts early. But your coach, Caitlin, had a completely different approach. So I would love to hear your story of your experiences with coaches and then this college coach who eventually recruited you.
Yeah, so growing up playing youth league, eventually going into travel ball, I had a lot of coaches, whether it was my coaches I played for, or mostly it was opposing coaches. During games, I was up to bat, and I had coaches from the opposing team saying to their players, move in, she can't hit. Or if I was in the field, they were running on me. Like, and the coaches were like, she can't throw. So they were always doubting my playing ability. And then at the age of 10, I got really, really competitive and into more competitive softball. And that's when I decided I wanted to play college softball. So I got on a good team, and I was starting. I was playing outfield. And then one day I got a call from the coach, and she said, hey, you and your parents are going to have to come to my house. I have something I need to talk about. So my parents and I went to her house, and she sat us down, and she said, I'm going to have to ask you to leave the team. And we were like, what? And she was like, yeah. She said, I don't like drama on my team, and there's a lot of drama with you, with parents complaining that a girl with one arm is playing over their kid with two, and they just don't understand, and I just can't have this drama on my team. And that was a true, and like, that was the moment where I was like, wow, like, I really didn't see myself any different than others, but that hurt. And it hurt a lot, but the way I was raised was, you know, to turn your other cheek and to keep going. And I used that as fuel just to get better. And I pushed myself, and I continued to go to a lot of showcase camps growing up. I was in front of a lot of college coaches, and the same things were happening. I would get in front of a college coach, and they would come up to me, and they would say, man, I would love to have you on my team, but, or I would love to have you on my team, but I don't know how my players would react to having a girl with one arm, or I don't know how to coach a girl with one arm. So there's always that but, and there was always those instances where they never would give me a chance to really show myself and to prove that I could play. And before I graduated high school, one of my goals was to sign a college scholarship to play softball. And I continued going to these same camps and seeing the same coaches. And then that's when I met Coach Gardner, my coach that I played for at this camp. And he was only there to recruit a pitcher and a catcher at the time. He was not interested in any other players. And I was playing outfield at the time. And he had his assistant coach at the field I was playing at. And she called him up and was like, hey, you have to see this girl play. And she didn't even mention me having one arm. And he was like, no,
surprise.
He's like, no. Yeah. He was like, no, you know, we're here just for this pitcher and catcher. And she said, no, like, you really need to come over here right now. So he did. He walked over to the field, saw me play, and afterwards came up to me, and this is what he said. He said, you know, I don't care if you have one arm, no arm. If you can play ball, you can play ball. And for someone to finally believe in me and look past my arm and just see me as a player, as a normal human being, meant so much to me. And I knew straight from there I wanted to play ball for him. And he offered me a full ride scholarship to play for him at Cincinnati Christian University.
That just gives me goosebumps. I love that. I love that he just looked past that and just saw to the heart of the athlete, which is so, so, so important. And I think, you know, what I see a lot of times on teams is those priorities getting skewed, and you value physical ability more than you're looking at heart and grit and spirit and those and character. And those kinds of things are really, really important. And, you know, it can be hard for, especially when families have aspirations, when kids have aspirations and they want to play just like you did, it can be really hard to do that. And one of the other challenges that you encountered when you were playing was a really bad knee injury. So tell us about that, because I can't imagine, Caitlin, it's always hard, you know, when any athlete gets hurt, but you are already operating, you know, with one arm. What was it like when you hurt your knee too?
Right. So like I said, my senior year, I had all those goals. I met my goal of signing for a college scholarship. And I wanted, you know, I wanted to hit a home run. I wanted to do all these other things. And I ended up doing that and then going to college. And it was my first scrimmage game right before our first actual game. My coach came up to me and a few of our players, and he was like, "You guys have been working so hard during the fall. I believe you can get your first at-bat." So he gave us our first at-bat, and I was first. And I went up there, and everything I do is 100%. So I hit the ball, ended up hitting it to the shortstop. And in my mind, I was like, "I'm going to beat that ball to first base." So ran down to first base. I kind of did a lunge at the bag. My left foot hit the top of the bag, but my body went forward. And all I heard was pop, 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 pop. And I fell to the ground. And I knew something was wrong. My kneecap was pointed the opposite direction. And I was like, "Oh, yeah, something's wrong." But I got up, and the first thing I asked Coach Gardner was like, "Man, that was a terrible hit. Can I have another try?" And he said, "Well, if you can walk from home to from first to home, you can." And I fell back to the ground. I ended up tearing my ACL, my meniscus, and I sprained all the ligaments around my knee. So my first college season before I even got to play in a first game was gone. And like I mentioned before, that was the first time I questioned God, why? You know, I was like, why did this happen to me? You know, I worked so hard to get to this point. I've overcome all these people and all these negative thoughts, and I've overcome all these obstacles, and now it's being all taken away from me. And what I didn't realize was I was idolizing softball. You know, I thought softball defined who I was. I thought that's all that I thought that was all I was a one-arm softball player. And my grandma, who is mentioned in the movie, when I was born, told my dad, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. And that same grandma told me, you know, God doesn't make mistakes. Things happen for a reason, and he has a plan for your life, and you just have to believe in that. And so I took her words, and I didn't know what God had in store for me, but I trusted and I followed in him. The doctor told me it would be a 9-month recovery, and I was like, "No way, I'll be back in 5." And he said, "Well, with what you did to your, with what you did to your knee, there's no way you'll get back in 5." And I said, "No, I'll be back." And I was so determined to get back on the field, to be with my teammates, to continue to show people that I could play ball. I ended up recovering in 4.5 months, and I got to play in the next season. And so that was a little bit about my knee injury and my journey through that. But when I injured my knee at first, it wasn't good. I got really, really depressed. I didn't really want to hang out with friends. I didn't want to do anything. But once I trusted in God and knowing that he had a plan in all this, and it was not my story, it's his story, I learned to let go and trust in him.
And you did go on to recover from that knee injury, and you became All-American, All-Conference, All-Midwest Region softball player. You finished your degree. You even got a master's degree in Christian leadership. I'd say you're pretty successful, Caitlin. And looking back all over all of that, over your journey as an athlete, what would you say to other athletes who think they have aspirations like you? They want to play college ball, and maybe they have obstacles like you do, or maybe they don't. What advice would you give to them about keeping a healthy perspective and just about taking care of their spirit and their mind and their soul and keeping their perspective in check as they're, you know, working up through all of those, you know, little kid teams and then high school and then having those dreams for college? What advice would you give them?
Yeah, so what I did was I made a goal board, and I would write all my goals out to where I could see them. And to eventually where, when I reached them, I would mark it off. And I knew that at that point, that's where I would reach my goals. But I would say, you know, keep your faith. It's really hard to lose your faith, especially when there's a lot of others saying, like, obviously, like, if you can't do something or you're thinking to yourself that you can't do something, always keep your faith and be true to who you are. And that whatever you're aspiring to do, whether it's a sport, or maybe you're in band or you sing or do something like that, that does not define who you are. You're not defined by what you do, and that God is always by your side.
Well, now, Caitlin, I want you to talk specifically to kids who are differently abled, who have some sort of disability, some sort of just physical challenge, some sort of, you know, congenital anomaly that they are growing up with. And maybe they feel like you. They feel discouraged and they feel like people aren't looking at them for them. They're only seen by whatever that challenge is that they're facing, and they're feeling discouraged. Can you talk straight to those kids?
Yeah. My motto now is, you know, the only disability in life is a bad attitude. If you have a bad attitude, you're not going to get anywhere in life. And it doesn't matter what you look like, where you came from. God made you just the way he wanted to make you. And I encourage you just to keep going, to keep getting out there, and to keep showing people, no matter how hard it is, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you get back up. Continue to say I can, and continue to try to overcome those obstacles. I, like I mentioned previously, like I was always told to never say I can't. I changed can't into continue adapting, never turning back. You continue to adapt to any situation you're given, and you never turn back, you never go back to your old ways. There's always ways that you can improve and to get better, and just to go out there and love what you're doing.
Oh, that is such great advice. I love that. The only disability in life is a bad attitude. I mean, I feel like that needs to go on a plaque in my office. And that is going to definitely go out to my kids for sure. And what did you say? Continue adapting, never turn back. That's what you turned it into?
Yes.
I love that. Well, you know, I know, Caitlin, there's a lot of parents listening thinking, oh my goodness, you overcame so much, Caitlin, and you are just such a breath of fresh air. You are just such a spirit of joy. What would you say to those parents? I mean, how have your parents' reaction been? Because they shared their story pretty transparently and pretty vulnerably. How has their reaction been? And what encouragement would you give to other parents to continue to encourage their kids who may be struggling?
Yeah, so when I was conceived, before like any ultrasound, never detected that I had one arm. So whenever I did have one arm, it was a big, big surprise. And my parents, you know, with my grandma's advice, God doesn't make mistakes, had to just roll with it and had to learn how to raise a kid with a limb difference and a kid that looked different. And just knowing that your past doesn't define who you are, and that God does not punish you for anything that you've done. That is why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, to forgive our sins. And our God is a redeeming God. And sometimes what you think is your biggest mistake can turn into your biggest blessing. So my parents really trusted in that and trusted in God, and ended up growing closer to him because of what happened.
Well, I think that's beautiful. Caitlin, where can people watch the movie?
Yeah, so it's streaming free right now on Amazon, Apple, Upface and Family, and Tubi right now. So we're actually in the top 10 on Amazon movies right now since it came out in December.
That is pretty awesome. It's always good to see inspirational movies. That is one of the habits I have challenged my listeners to have, is to watch inspirational faith films with your family, because we need that kind of good news. Well, we'll be right back with more after this break.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net, and sign up for our daily news brief.
at afn.net.
And if you're helpless, I will defend you. And if you're burdened, I'll share the weight. And if you're hopeless, then let me show you there's hope in the Jesus way.
Welcome back, friends. That song is The Jesus Way by Phil Wickham. And I love Phil Wickham. I love his music. It just always makes my heart feel a little bit lighter. And in today's world, we need that. So if you've been listening in, to recap, to catch you up, we've been talking about the importance of music in our lives to inspire us. And we are modeling that here before you, playing some uplifting music. And I hope that you caught the story of Caitlin Pavey. Really an incredible true story. I saw this movie. I watched it. It's called I Can, and streaming free on Amazon, Apple, Tubi, other places. You can go to icanmovie.info and see Caitlin's incredible story. She was born with a genetic condition that basically caused one of her arms to not completely develop. Yet she still became an All-American softball player. She encountered a lot of hardship, and she just gave us a lot of advice, and especially even for a young person who is differently abled, you would never know it. And I love what she said, that the only disability in life is a bad attitude, and just lots of encouragement there. And what I want to do for the rest of our time together is talk about the Surgeon General's warning, the advisory on the mental health and well-being of parents. Tomorrow, I'm going to have a solo show where I'm going to talk to you about the difference between regular stress and toxic stress and how it impacts the brain development of our kids. But I just wanted to spend a little time together this afternoon really talking about the mental health and well-being of parents. Now, this is something that is definitely on my radar as a researcher. I researched and surveyed a large number of pediatric providers across the country about what they were seeing in the wake of COVID. And one of the first things they said is that we are seeing just terrible mental health outcomes. Now, they weren't talking about kids. They were talking about the parents, because we see it and I know it. I'm a parent of four kids and we are definitely stressed. So let me share with you a little bit about what United States Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy said in his advisory on the mental health and well-being of parents, and I'll give you my take on it. So what he said basically was that over the last decade, the last 10 years or so, which is no coincidence, by the way, that that is the also timeline for the advent of social media, but parents have been consistently more likely to report experiencing high levels of stress compared to other adults who are not actively parenting. 33% of parents report high levels of stress in the last month compared to 20% of other adults. And when that stress is severe, when it is prolonged, it has a harmful effect on our mental health. And we start to get symptoms for depression. We start to get symptoms for anxiety. And that is affecting our children's well-being. Now, listen, our children are wired to watch every facial expression that we have, every body posture that we have. They see the worries on our brow. They see the pursing lips that we have. They see us tightening our hands. They see us sighing. They see us rolling our eyes. They see all of those things because our mental health is equivalent to their psychological safety. They feel safe if we are okay. And we may think, you know, I don't want to burden my kids with that. I don't want to tell my kids that I'm stressed. Well, here is a newsflash. They already know. They know when we're stressed. So we really need to flip that narrative and just say, you know what? I am feeling stressed today. I am feeling anxious today. Here are the things that I am doing to try to cope in a healthy way. And I would love for you to do these things with me. That is what we have to do. So reading a quote from Dr. Vivek Murthy, he said, "Parents have a profound impact on the health of our children and the health of society. Yet parents and caregivers today face tremendous pressures from familiar stressors, like worrying about their kids' health and safety and financial concerns, to new challenges like navigating technology and social media, a youth mental health crisis, an epidemic of loneliness that has hit young people the hardest." And he said, as a father of two kids, he feels these pressures too. I could not agree more with this statement. I think this statement is absolutely true. Parents today are facing tremendous pressures that even 10 years ago, we did not face. I look at my oldest daughter, who is now in her early 20s, and what we faced 10 years ago is nothing compared to what parents are facing today. And we know that there are about 63 million parents right now in the United States living with children under the age of 18. And it is hard. We have a lot of demands. We have financial pressures and economic instability and a really tough economy. We have pressure on our time. We are living at the speed of a smartphone, and it just feels like every day just kind of goes by in a blur. And then you know what we're doing? We're doing something called digital soothing. Now, this may be a new term to some of you. It is where we soothe ourselves basically with digital media. We soothe our kids with digital media. And listen, parents, I really want to raise your attention to this. And whether, honestly, you're a parent or not, we need to realize that one of the primary coping mechanisms that we have adopted as a society is digital soothing. And it numbs us. We just stop thinking about things. And all of a sudden, you're looking at cat videos or dog videos. That's for my husband. He said, not everybody watches cat videos. Some people watch dog videos or sports videos or cooking videos or whatever it is. And when our kids are crying, when they're fussing, when they're impatient, we put a screen in front of their face, whether we're at a table eating out, whether we're in the grocery store, whether we're watching a school function. All I see everywhere is this eerie light of screens above our face where we are having digital soothing. And that is not the way that God designed us to be. When we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling impatient, when we're feeling angry, the things that are going to help us are healthy coping mechanisms. And most of those are going to involve interactions with other people and spiritual disciplines that do not come from a screen. And when we're looking about the concerns we have today about our kids' health and safety and the parental isolation and us feeling lonely, feeling like, you know, we can't tell what we're feeling. I don't want anyone to know about our financial stressors or what my kids are doing. And, you know, I don't want people to judge us. That is also pressure. That is so, so hard. So if you're wondering, oh my goodness, what can we do? The first thing that I think that you should do is pray and ask God to help you deal with the feelings that you are having. And it is really, really hard. And just be honest about the stressors that you're facing. When we're facing stress as parents, what we're wondering is, where are we on the continuum? Is this a normal human experience, the anxiety, the depression, the emotions I'm feeling? Or does this rise to the level of, I've got a diagnosable disorder that is really interfering with my life? Now, those are things that healthcare providers, it's really important for you to have a primary care provider, for you to invest in finding someone you like and that you trust and that shares your worldview, that you can go to them for advice and we can help you figure that out. Say, okay, this is on the spectrum of normal human experience, and most of those things are true. Now, if you were to tell me as a parent that you're feeling anxious and overwhelmed, I would start to ask you these questions. I would say, well, how are you sleeping? Oh, well, you're not. Okay, well, how are you exercising? How are you moving your body? What kind of things are you eating? And, you know, what kind of social interactions are you having? When are you finding time to rest? All of those things that we know impact mental health. And somehow they seem so easy to understand, but so difficult to do. So if you are dehydrated, if you are malnourished, if you are exhausted and you are digitally soothing, then yeah, your mental health is probably not going to be the best. We have got to retrain ourselves to have healthy coping mechanisms. Now, one of the things you can do is to listen to these 52 healthy habits for families that I've been going over since January. If you've missed any of them, you can go to any podcast platform. You can go to AFR's website. You can go to the podcast. Look for the Dr. Nurse Mama Coaching Minutes. These are all really healthy coping mechanisms that you can use to deal with stress at home. If you start walking through those and start just incremental, just baby steps, just pick one thing. You don't have to solve the world and change your life tomorrow, but maybe you're going to pray today and you haven't prayed in the last few days. Maybe you're going to pick up your Bible and look for wisdom, and maybe it's been a long time since you picked up your Bible out of church. Maybe you're going to change what's on the radio and you're going to play some music and curate a playlist that really lifts you up. Maybe you're going to go to church for the first time in a long time and you're going to engage there. Those are all things that are science-backed that say they really do impact our mental health. Maybe you're going to get your family together and say, you know what, we're going to take some time to think about all of the things that we are grateful for in a world where we are experiencing hardship, where maybe your family's going through a really tough time. Maybe you're going to just get a little jar where each of you takes a slip of paper and puts something that you're grateful for in, and maybe you read those together out loud as a family. Maybe you're going to start thinking about your bedtime routine and your morning routine. And when are you having time for a daily devotional? You have time for that. I promise you can find 5 minutes to a day. When there's so many other habits, I cannot believe it, but we are in week 37. And so you'll find about 37 of those habits that we've already been through. And I encourage you to go through and just take an inventory of your life and see, where are you? What are you doing? It's not about perfection. It's just about progress and modeling to our kids. Those are the ways to do it. Here are some other tips for you in trying to manage your stress. First of all, try really hard if you work outside of the home or if you're encountering a stressful situation outside of the home, try not to bring that stress home. Do whatever it is that you need to do. If you need to take the 15-minute longer way home to drive, if you need to go and, you know, get a Sonic drink, that's what I do here in Texas, on the way home, and just, you know, take some time to decompress. If you need to pray before you go into the house, whatever it is that you need to do, it's really important to try to leave that stress outside the door and try to expose our kids. Be honest about it, but they don't need to be saturated in the stress that we're experiencing. Another really, really important thing that you can do is to look for opportunities to have fun with your family. So often, especially as school gets started, we're all business, we're all about the schoolwork, we're all about the sports that are starting up, we're all about the routine, but we forget to have fun. And in a world like today where we're hearing horrible news of another school shooting, our kids need that. They need that lightness. They need an opportunity to be fun. It does not have to be expensive. It does not have to be elaborate. Just something that you do, whether it's playing a board game or just having a family charades or just whatever it is that's silly. In our house, we reenacted Ben-Hur. Yeah, we really did. But we were all laughing so hard we could barely breathe, and it was great. Remember to take care of yourselves. Self-care is not selfish. So taking care of yourself physically, mentally, emotionally, a healthier parent is going to lead to a happier child who feels more secure. Don't be afraid to ask for help when you need it. So often we say, oh no, it's fine. I don't need anything. Somebody will say, I'll bring you dinner or I'll do something nice for you. Ask for backup when you need it. Accept help when it's offered. That is really important. And just again, look at some of these habits that we have talked about and just know that I am praying for you, that this, I recognize this is a tough time to be a parent, but God, but there is hope. I have found hope in having a healthy family. We are not perfect. We are definitely not perfect, but we are healthy. And one of the greatest things about investing in your health as a family is when your kids start to model that back to you. I know when I am feeling really, really stressed and I just feel my shoulders start to tense up, I feel my attitude start to go south, I feel my responses starting to get sharp, my youngest son will come up to me, put both hands on my shoulders to literally push them down, and he'll say, "Mom, take 3 deep breaths and tell me 5 things you're grateful for." I might sound like a toddler at first. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. No, not now. I say, "Mom, if not now, when? You need it now more than ever." And when our kids start modeling those things, it can be really encouraging. Listen, tomorrow we'll talk about all of the science of toxic stress and how we can decrease stress in our families. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And I'll see you here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.